Okay, guys, so let's continue. So Rav Ashlag is telling us, Ukvar Yadata, you already know, She'en Eheder Beruchani. There is nothing that disappear in spirituality. It's a very interesting concept to understand that nothing ever disappear in spirituality. Meaning what? Meaning that sometimes you are creating something new, right? I mean, time is everything. So today is Thursday. By spirituality, Shabbat is also here. And Sunday is here. Your childhood is here. You carry with you everything that happened before. Nothing ever disappeared in spirituality. Physicality, because it's related to the body, we age. What does it mean, age? The new you is now. And what happened to the old you? The young one, the full of vitality and energy and all the... It's gone. Because it's related to the body. So the body consciousness is more related to separation. The past, present, and future are not three pieces to put into one. Spirituality, there is, you don't age. No, you never age. You just get more experience or more stuff. But the original you, all your different lifetime, still around, never gone. So it say, אי אפשר כלל לומר שאותו גילוי דיינו האור המחודש בשלושת דרך המדרגות, נהדר במדרגה ראשונה ביתו לשנייה. Now we know after the צמצום, after the contraction, now the light coming through the cup, through the line, so it's going from one level to another. You cannot say that the light that came, let's say, from Keter to Chokmah, is now in Chokmah. The light that's still shining from Keter to Chokmah is still there. From Chokmah to Bina is still there. Everything is the same. It's just additional of a new light. Beit Biyadot Lashit, Kederich Davar Gashmi. It's not like Gashmi. It's not like physicality. That something is moving from one place to another. Sheze lo yitachen beruchani klal. It's impossible to speak like this in spiritual term. Nothing moves from one side to another and it's gone. So normally, if I put my glasses down here and I move it here, they are only here. In spirituality, if it was here, it's always going to stay here forever. And if it moves here, it's also here. So now we have two. And then we have three. And then we have four. So it's putting us in a certain way to understand that in spirituality, nothing is ever gone. It's also make it easier. But people who lost a dear one, people who die, they are here. Never been gone. Never been gone. We are buried them, because we bury not them, but we bury the shell of who they are. But you cannot bury a person. How can you bury all the memory? How can you bury the existence that have been here for 100 years? This is cannot be buried. But we need to see them. We need to talk to them. Well, for a person to need to talk to them, you have to divorce yourself 100% from the body consciousness, which is, how do you do that? The bodies control everything. So the body is the shell, is the way you manifest your soul. But is there is a possibility to see only the soul without the body? Yes. Tzadikim, righteous people, were able to tap into it. But the reason they were able to tap into it because they were able to control the body in a better way. So once you control the body in a better way, you make the body secondary, then of course you're going to see the soul of the dead and the angel and everything. So the thing to see, because there is a lot of things out there. Many people think they see angel, they see spirit, but actually they see something else. But to see really the soul, like it's a Idgalut shel Eliyahu Navi, revelation of Elijah the prophet, didn't happen to everybody, few people. What is Elijah the prophet? A person who undressed himself from the body become an angel. He revealed only to righteous. For the righteous can see him. He came to teach them everything. But they have to undress themselves from the body. And that's why those righteous people, when they die, they either bury themselves, okay, or they're actually alive under that stone. And the day of the death is not really a surprise or a big deal. It's, yeah, body, and now the soul come into expression. So, שזה לא ייתכן, כי אין העדר נוהג בו, אלא בהכרח שהוא נשאר בכל מדרגה ומדרגה. So the light that coming down from Ein Sof all the way here is still in the Ein Sof too. So we are tasting every day the Ein Sof. What day of the Ein Sof we are tasting? The first day. Because nothing ever happened, but everything took a place. So it's kind of confusing. So we are tasting the first second of creation every day. Or we're testing what is in front of us. It depends in the mind. It's very hard. Switch the mind. It's only, okay, I'm there. No, I'm not. I'm there. I'm not. Not easy. And it's a, it's similar to somebody who light a candle from one candle to another. Say Rav Ashlag. Shein HaRishon Chaser Klal. The first candle never missing any flame or fire. Stay the same. But there is 1,000 candles lit by that first candle. And the first candle stays the same. How can that be? That it from one become 1,000? Because this one candle turned into 1,000 candle. Because the light is moving from one candle to another, to another, to another, to another, until it become 1,000 candle. That's actually what you're seeing. So that's what he says. So Rav Ashlag saying like this. Domen lamadlik ner miner, שאין הראשון חסר כלל, באופן שגילוי האור הבא לאיזו מדרגה שבעולם עשייה, this revelation of light, הבא לאיזו מדרגה, that coming in any stage of עולם עשייה, in the world of action, זכו בו מקודם כל המדרגות שבעולמות. So because the stage is coming from the end soft, it's coming all the way down to עולם עשייה, so, because of that, we might think, wow, it went all the way down. It went all the way down. So that light is designated only to come to Olam Asiya. But because it went through all the Olamot, starting from Adam Kadmon, Primordial Man, Atzilut, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya, then all of the Olamot together, everything together, that light that belonged to Olam Asiya has to go through those pipes. And then ending up in Olam Asiya, in the world of action. That's what happened. And he continued. And he say, שבין האין סוף שלמעלה, מצמצום, עד המקבל הנמצא בעולם העשייה. Which is a shocking thing, if you think about it. We already explained what צמצום is, but I see new faces. I hope people know the word צמצום. I do the best I can to explain. צמצום, if we translate it into English, mean contraction or restriction or limitation of the ability of the receiver. That's the best way I can explain it. Because the light shine the same. Or and sof shine the same. How you're going to receive it, it's based on the receiver. What's define a receiver? What's define a receiver? Two things. Desire, how much desire you have, and capability. That's why human can only be tested by desire and capability. You cannot be tested by any other thing. The only test that the human has is desire and capability. So when your desire is basically not strong, there is no test. If your capability is not there, there is no test. So the test is only taking a place where there is desire and capability. Meaning, I have the desire to do so, and I have the ability to do so. Now, can I say no to it? That's all inyan of mitzvot lo taseh, the whole idea of what you're not allowed to do, what you're not supposed to be doing. So you have to have desire to do it, then you have to have ability to do it, and you say no. Now, bravo, you passed the test. But if I don't have desire to do it, somebody came to me and said, I think I did a mitzvah. So what's a mitzvah? I didn't smoke a cigarette today. So you normally smoke a cigarette every day? So no. So what's the effort? You gotta have a desire. What, everybody have a shtick, have a something that this is their thing. Some people is eating too much, somebody has chutzpah, somebody have gava, anger. You gotta find your thing. So tell us something so profound and important. It says that The light that's coming from the Ein Sof, before the Tzimtzum. I'm not talking about after Tzimtzum. Again, Tzimtzum, I see new faces, even I don't have my glasses. So Tzimtzum, contraction, meaning that the vessel, the receiver, was able to say no to the giver. Why did the receiver say no to the giver? Because the way that the Borei Olam, the way that the Creator created this universe, the Creator created Midat Ratzon, he created attribute of desire. The only creation, actually, that took a place, that's how deep it goes, is desire. It's only first creation and last creation. So what happened here? Those of you who know Genesis, Bereshit bara Elokim. Elokim. Elokim is much lower level. It's not Yud Kevavke. It's not Tatshe Gamatan. It's not the Yud Kevavke. It's not Ekeye. It's not En Sof. It's not Borei Olam. We're talking about 10 levels down, Elokim. Elokim happened much after what we study here. So the Tzimtzum happened way before Bereshit. Way before. Well, and because there is no time in spirituality, so it's difficult to understand it. Because when I say before, there is no time. If God has a watch, no. There's no time. There's no time. Now, can you understand the concept of no time? The brain cannot allow us to understand. How can we understand no time? See, we live in time. But from the Creator point of view, Bore, not Elohim, Elohim has time. Okay? Bore, no time. Before the Tzimtzum. So before the Tzimtzum, when everything is to be Echad v'Shmo Echad, if you remember, we studied in the first two lectures. So, Echad v'Shmo Echad, meaning that it was a unity between U, meaning the light of the Ein Sof, Ushmo is the vessel of the Ein Sof. Kli Ein Sof, or Ein Sof, Achdut Shlema, was absolutely unity. That's before the Tzimtzum. After the Tzimtzum, Shmo, which is Gimatria Ratzon, say, I don't want any more to receive. I don't want any more to receive. I don't play that game. Why would he say that? Because the Ratzon, even the Ratzon, even the desire was coming from a place that coming from the endless. What was the endless represent? Sharing, giving. What does the desire represent? Receiving. Not in a bad way. Not in a bad way, in pure receiving. The divine create a receiving force. So through that, everything comes to express the power of the Creator. The Creator is giving everything. The receiver receives everything. Now we have Uvesh Moechat. After that, we have to create a Tzimtzum. After the Tzimtzum, that meaning the vessel not receiving anymore. So, lo mikabel. So, here it says that the light that we are receiving even after the Tzimtzum is coming from the time before the Tzimtzum. Now, we have to be careful. When we study spirituality, a lot of time, we're getting confused with time, space, and motion. In spirituality, there is no time. In spirituality, there is no space. There's no physicality. In spirituality, there is no motion, moving from here to here. I just explained it. So in spirituality, if I move this object from here to here, it exists in both places. And that's very difficult for people to understand. Because when people start spirituality, they say, wow, nice that. It's not about that. Spirituality is about understanding it's all there. Beginning, end, and middle, finish. The brain go crazy. Impossible. So you people are waiting for the Messiah to come. Is the Messiah here? Of course. Why I cannot see it? Well, I got to do some work. I got to peel it out. You know, you have to peel something. Oh, it was here all this time. What about your parnasa? Is your ultimate amount of money in front of you all day long? The money is waiting for you to see it. You don't need to. So why you have to go work hard? Because you have to do a certain action in this world that called Olam Asiyah, the world of action, to reveal it. Or use the word discover what's already here. There is nothing in the Ruchaniyut. So that's what Rav Arshak said. En eder beruchani. There is no such a thing that something disappears. Nothing ever disappears. And that's difficult. Very difficult for people to start studying this specific knowledge because it confuses people, taking them into a place like, what do you mean nothing has disappeared? Look at the graveyard. Many people die. Well, we have to bury the body. But they never come. And that's very difficult for the mind of a human being to accept it. That everything is here. Nothing has ever been gone. I mean, after all, the hardest thing for people is rejection or saying goodbye or abandonment or separation. And for that reason, when a person elevates themselves into spiritual level, nothing ever been gone. Nothing. Nothing ever been gone. It's hard. I know. ועניין ביאתו למדרגה השנייה דומה למדליק נר מנר שאין הראשון חסר כלל. As I explained, like candles from candles, you light one candle with another candle with another candle, 1,000 candles, the first candle doesn't miss anything, but it's the light keep growing. So if you light one candle and you have two and you have three, you have four, you have 1,000, now the original candle is still here. You just add something. In spirituality, you just add things. Nothing ever disappears. שגילוי האור הבא לזה מדרגה שבעולם עשייה זכו בו מקודם כל המדרגות שבעולמות שבין האינסוף שלמעלה מצמצום עד המקבל הנמצא בעולם עשייה. So everything is coming from before צמצום, from the endless, from the first exact second of creation. When I say creation, I hope you understand, I'm not talking about creation of Adam and Eve or creation of the world as we know it, בראשית. I'm talking about way before, way before. Okay? ולפי זה נמצא שערת הקו הישר, and I'm sorry for the new people, this is 49 hours after we study this stuff for 49 hours already. But if you want to ask, don't be shy to ask me. Everybody will be happy to hear you. לפי זה נמצא שערת הקו הישר מוכרחת לעבור דרך כלים דעיגולים. So now, it's getting a little complicated if you knew those things might throw you off a little bit. There is two types of vessels. There is two types of receiver. There is one receiver that's called כלים דעיגולים. Circular receiver, and there is linear receiver. The circular receiver is not necessarily a shape, because in spirituality there is no shape. We are referred that into the ability to receive endlessly. Because in the beginning it was Uve Shmo Echad, he and his name are one, meaning the giver and the receiver were equal. This we call Kilim de Igulim. But after the Tzimtzum, after the receiver says, I don't want the light has to be, go out from the receiver. So now the receiver is running on empty. When the receiver running on empty, now you can see the difference between the receiver and the giver. Until the receiver is not empty, they look the same. From here we learn a lesson. People who are fulfilled look similar. People who are empty, like sad people, what is happy, fulfilled. What is sad, empty. So people who are sad, you can start seeing the difference. Somebody who is fulfilled with light, here we use light. I'm giving you those examples just to make sure you understand what I'm talking about, but it's not, it will never be a perfect example because here we're talking about things which are not physical. So the igulim are circular vessel before the tzimtzum, linear vessel after the tzimtzum. Remember, the word tzimtzum meaning when the vessel or the receiver or the container say, I don't want the light. You have to remember what Tzimtzum mean. I don't want the light. I don't want to receive. The light never changed. The light never changed. The creator never changed. The light will always give. Always give. Always give. People ask me, I gave that lecture in the synagogue in New York. People ask me, if the light is so nice, if the divine is so nice, if the Borei Olam is so nice, how come there is punishing? So there is no punishing. There's no punishing. And I tell them, challenge me on that. What punishing? So we talk. In the end, I said, what if you put your finger into the socket? Do you feel that the socket punishes you? Or you put your finger in the wrong place? The universe is operated in such a way that if you listen to all the operation, for that we have Torah, we have mitzvot, we have all those things, to tell you, hey, you go this way, it's better. It's not like, wow, now, since I'm doing mitzvot, my blood pressure went down, everything is wonderful, I'm losing weight, my life is perfect. No. And if you work like that, that's wrong. It cannot be spiritual for the benefit of it. Spirituality for spirituality. What's the benefit of being spiritual? Being spiritual. You want to know what's the benefit of being spiritual? Being spiritual. That's the benefit of that. That's that I'm able to be spiritual, as Baal Shem Tov said. That's a gift by itself. You wake up in the morning and you want to pray? That's a gift. Why did you want to pray? Why even you want it? You want to give tzedakah. Do you thank the poor man that you give tzedakah to? Oh, thank you for being there so I can do my sharing? No. We say, oh, I helped somebody today. Somebody helped me today. Somebody saved my life today. Right? It's tzedakah tatzil mimavet. Right? It's a charity saved from death. when I talk to most people, they think charity is safe from debt, meaning the poor person. No, no, say Rabbi Isaac Luria. No, it's the tzedakah tatzil mimavet of the giver. The charity saves the giver from death. Because on the day of the tzedakah, there is a letter tzaddik on the person's forehead, say the Ari HaKadosh, Yashar Ruach HaKodesh. And at that day, if the angel of death going in the shuk, that's how the Ari say, shuk mean like the market, and the angel of death going around, and God forbid, person happened to be in the wrong place, everybody go, not one person. But because he has the tzaddik, the angel of death cannot touch that person. That's what tzedakah is special. Tzedakah is special. Again, but you got to give it with the right reason. I'm not helping the poor. The poor helping me. So don't feel like big shot. Oh, I'm giving. Oh. You know, tomorrow we're going to feed the people on Pico. They made me want to feed people and give them sandwiches. So I'm not doing it because I'm a nice guy. I need help. So I'm going there and said, how can I get help? The best way to get help, give them sandwich. Help another human being. We have to switch it. It's hard. Because when you give, you're always above. You know, you're always above gravity. Even if I want to pour water into the glass, the giver always above from a physical point of view. But in spirituality, it's not like that. He's giving me a chance. He's giving me a chance to give matnat chinam. So when the creator want to give you a gift, mezamen lefanav, the creator is put in front of the person, a weird situation that you don't feel like giving to, and you decide to give anyway. And through that, yesh ahara, there is lighting coming from above. This is all new way of thinking. Bezrat Hashem, hopefully we can understand. So the light now cannot come directly to the circle. Because if the light goes directly to the circle, we're going back to Matzav Aleph, to the first aspect. What happened in the first aspect? The first aspect was when Uve Shmo Echad, he and his name are one, before the Tzimtzum. So before the Tzimtzum, there is unity between the giver and the receiver. U v'shmo echad. Between the light and the container, the receiver. Between what we call in Hebrew, or and sof. Okay? And kli and sof. Endless light and endless receiver. So it was unity. It was no different between them. Because where is the endless container came from? From the endless light. The endless light create a desire and create a container and create something that will receive all that light. But now, what is this receiver was made from? What's the DNA? What's the DNA? What was it made from?
Creator.
I cannot hear you.
The creator.
Yeah, which is the same DNA as the giver. Exactly. So now the giver been asked to be the receiver. So the receiver cannot receive. So what does the receiver say? Hey, I'm not going to receive. The light says, I'm going to continue to give. What are you going to do? Close your eyes. If I'm closing my eyes now, it's dark. But is it really dark? No. That's what happened in the endless before the Tzimtzum. After the Tzimtzum, there is darkness. After that darkness, there is a certain amount of light, very little amount of light, that's coming from the endless to the vessels, to the receiver. But now it's coming in the shape of line. Try to imagine like a straw. Straw that deliver light to 10 dimensions. The 10 dimensions called Sfirot. The Sfirot is 10 level. 10 Sfirot of Igulim, 10 Sfirot of the circular, and 10 Sfirot of linear. Okay? ולפי זה תמצא שהערת קו הישר מוכרת לעבור דרך הכלים דיגולים. להיות שבחינת הכלים דיגולים קדמו לקו, שהכלים דיגולים יצאו תכף עם הצמצום, אבל הכלים דיושר יצאו אחר כך עם הקו. כן, הערה הזו העוברת ביניהם, לא זזה משם בעולם, כמו שאומר שאין היעדר ברוחני. So here, say to us, Rava Ashla, Revelation. It say like this. I'm translating first the Hebrew. נמצא שערת הקו הישר, the light that coming from the linear light, has to go through the circular light first. להיות שבחינת הכלים דיגולים קדמו לקו, because the circular vessel was before. ועל כן הערה זו עוברת ביניהם, לא זה משם לעולם. So the light that coming through the igulim, through the circular vessel, to the line, the direction, the final destination is to arrive to the line, but the light is going through the circle. What did we say about going through? It stayed there. Everything in spirituality that go through something, it's there, but nothing missing in what come after. So that's why, you know, when people get jealous, why people get jealous? Because they don't feel it's enough. You take Leah and Rachel. You know, Rachel is about marry Yaakov. Yaakov, go to Leah. Tough moment. How can you not be jealous? Somebody take your own sister, taking your own husband. It's a little bit unfair. And she can kill that because Yaakov told her, I'm going to give you Sibanim. I'm going to give you a different thing under the chuppah. And you do this, and I know that it's your sister. Yaakov was expected that to happen. What she did? She didn't give the, she gave the Sibanim to her sister Leah. So her sister will not get insulted. What came from Rachel? What came from Rachel? Binyamin. Binyamin. What came from Leah? What came from Leah? Came Yehuda, King David. When these two people meet again and become friends, King David, and from Binyamin came Jonathan. What is King David say to Jonathan? I love you like a love of a woman. Most Jewish rabbis sometimes going in translate that incorrectly. When they say I love you like this, like love of a woman, the meaning of it, say Kerem Shlomo, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that I, the same as our grandmother used to love each other and don't insult each other, our love to each other came from them. That's what it means. Most people take it like Jonathan. It's a very deep meaning to it. You know, very, you know, David v'Yonatan. After Yotcha Avat Nashim. People think, oh, maybe that. No, simple. Rachel and Leah achieved the ultimate unconditional love. And where is Yerushalayim? Where is Jerusalem? Which chelka? Which tribe in charge of Jerusalem? Binyamin. Why? And why is the temple has not been built then? Until we don't find unconditional love between two people, like David and Yonatan has, like Rachel and Leah have, what is love truly? Love doesn't start with, I love you. Love becomes cheap. You know, give me 2 pounds of meat. I love you. Nothing. What for lunch? Love begins when you feel the pain of another human being. If you don't feel the pain, you don't love anything. First stage of love, do you feel the pain of that person you love? You don't feel the pain, you don't love them. There's no love. It sounds nice. I love you. But the true essence of love, I want to know what's your pain. If I can feel your pain, then I love you. That's the beginning. If I don't feel your pain, you're going through pain, and I don't feel it, it's not that I'm not sensitive. I don't have the love toward you. So that's very important to understand. So you continue. So the all light that's going to the line have to go first to the Igulim, but it doesn't stay there, it goes to there. And I'm going to explain what it means by that. Please remember the next section, very important. Ashara b'mkomot ha'avara, b'china achat hi ashara b'kvi'ut. There is the light that called ashara b'kvi'ut. Ashara means stay there forever, kvi'ut, kavua. It's not momentarily, it's not moving, it's there to last forever. שפירושה שמתערבת ומתחברת באור הנמצא מכבר במדרגה ומתייחדים לאחד, שתומים שכמו שהיו מתמיד דבר אחד. So, when we talk about השערה בקביעות, and I'm sorry that we're using so many terms lately, and I'm sorry for the people at home, when we doing השערה בקביעות, meaning that the light, that original light that just arrived from the Ein Sof, is mixing with the light that is already exist within that category, and they become one, and it's there to stay. B'china shniya, second level, asher irak ashara overet. It's a passing through light. Klomar she'ena mitarev d'yachet b'b'chinat or ha'makom, l'davar echad ala nitzet sham mitzuyenet k'b'china miyuchedet la'atzma. Sometimes the light coming through a area, but it's only passing through. It's not there to stay. It's called ashara overet. V'ze mashmienu arav, when you say arav, it means Rabbi Isaac Luria. V'ze mashmienu arav, she'oto or akav, that linear light, ha'overet derech madrigot ha'igulim, eno mibchinat ashara b'kviut. So the light that going through the igulim, the light of Yosher, the light, the linear light, that going through the circle, first it has to go to the circle because the circle were created first. It's not there to stay. It's just passing through. It's just passing through. Now, what's the difference of passing through or not? Because before that, we just say in spirituality, nothing ever disappears, right? It's a contradicting. So, שאינה מתערבת עם אור העיגולים לבחינה אחת. If you remember before the Tzimtzum, it was, and when I say it was, you understand what it means, it's not history. The circular light, it's still there in the Igulim. Everything is there, but there is nothing to reveal that. If I am now watching, people watching me, screen, so they're watching on the computer or the TV or whatever it is, you need a screen. The screen in Hebrew called masach. You have to remember those words, masach. Masach, masach televizia, masach konoa, TV curtain, movie theater curtain. What is the curtain in a movie theater does? It's basically... Exactly, it's reflecting back. What if I look at the projector in the eyes? I want to see the movie directly. I can't. I need something to reflect back. Everything is appeared to the eyes after the reflection, not while it happened. You only see a reflection of things. No wonder why the eyes, you know, see everything opposite. Those of you who study physics, the eyes see everything here upside down, and then the brain turn it around, maybe to remind us that olam hafuch, that this universe is operate not as we see it. For that reason, how do we say world, W-O-R-L-D in Hebrew, olam? What is olam? The same root as the word ne'elam, ne'elam, disappear. More the light disappear, more the blessing disappear, more it's appear. The opposite of what we think. You want to know what's appear the most? Something has less blessing. You know what? Something that totally disappeared, gone, you cannot even see it. That's where the blessing is. How can that be? It doesn't make any sense. You go to a real estate agent and say, listen, I'm looking for something almost don't exist. I'm ready to pay a lot of money for that non-existent thing. They start laughing at you, right? They're laughing at you because we look at life in a very opposite, olam hafuch. Look at the opposite way. Whatever appear, see, now it's big, now it's good. Now, the seed, the original seed of everything. That's why now in the fruit, they took the seed out. What is the seed of every fruit? Keter, the crown, the beginning. The seed is connecting you all the time to Bereshit, to Genesis, to Garden of Eden. But today there is genetic engineering. Take the seed out. We need grapes with seed. Those of you a little bit older, the old time used to be those big grapes, and the seed was half of the, or watermelon was a different story. It was covered with seed. It was nothing left to eat after that. By the time you take all the seed out, you have so many holes, you have a little watermelon, but you work hard to get there, right? Today, seed is seedless, that's the word, okay. Seedless fruit, seedless watermelon, seedless, but seedless, meaning no keter. No more keter into the food. Yeah, I'm not smart to understand physics and genetics and exactly how it worked and what they did to do it. I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is there is the original and it's here all the time. But without something that reflected, you cannot see it. Everything is here, but you need a masach. Now, how is the masach look at your life? That's profound. The ability to say no to myself is the beginning of my spirituality. You know, everybody can put a nice big yarmulke. It costs, you can do it glatmat, you know, a few dollars, you have a yarmulke. Does that make you so spiritual? No. You can buy a tzitzit, put there, you can buy tefillin. Women can cover or wig or, I don't know, kasher food. It doesn't make you spiritual. That's not what the mifran. That's not what the test is. The test is really, where is your masach, your curtain? You are in a rush, you have to buy meat for Shabbat, you gotta go cook something, or you have a good reason, you donated tomorrow sandwiches for the poor. Yeah, good reason. Now, somebody is in line and say, excuse me, I wanna buy this, after all, I'm the donator, I'm the donor. I'm supposed to go first. You miss the masach. You just miss the curtain of your own. Everything you want to reveal has to have a curtain attached to it. Because what happened, and that's very difficult for people to understand, as the Baal Shem Tov write, that all the gift that you can imagine already happened. The Creator is already giving everything to you already, but you need to have a masach to reflect back, to reveal that. A light that coming from the sun is going through space. But if you'll be in space, you're not going to see that light. Because until there is nothing that reflects that light back, you cannot see the light that comes from the sun. Same with your life. What is a new life that not yet come to fruition, to manifestation? It's not because it's not here. It's here. You pray, oh God, please, please, I need money, I need money. And God says, I put it on the table. Where is your masach? Did you ask for the masach? If you do the masach, it will appear. Oh, I need banzug, banzug, soulmate and relationship. God, oh, everything. Everything you wish for, it's already here. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov, the Chidush, the new thing of the Baal Shem Tov, HaKadosh, those of you, Baal Shem Tov, the Chidush, people ask, what is the Chidush of the Baal Shem Tov? What is the new thing that he brought? He brought the concept of it's already here. This by itself, it's making you understand life in an all different way. When you do the masach now, in a way, a supermarket, it's not about the size of the yarmulke. Not about the size of a yarmulke. I had to be a mediator one time between two business people. And so in the middle of the argument they have, so this one blaming this one for $800,000 of money, and this one, in the end, the way my person on the left, and I had to smile in the middle, which I shouldn't, but I did, I started laughing, because this friend on my side is a beekeeper. He say, he look at that guy, he say, I'm a Jewish, would I lie to you as a Jew? I had to start laughing. And then he took me aside and said, why are you laughing? I said, what does this to do with you being a Jew? Why even you using that word? Why you even say that? Why you even say that? What's the purpose? Is it make it better? How is your masach? How are you doing with the real time testing you? Are you able to shut up when it's time for you to think to talk? Are you able to talk when you want to be quiet? Are you able to get out of the house when you want to stay? Are you able to forgive when you want to kill that person? That's a masach. That's what the real work. The real work is not the size of your yarmulke or tefillin. Everybody can buy that. Everybody can do that. The thing that nobody can do is what you can do on your own without nobody you know you do it. And that's hard. That's tough. That's so tough. And that's why it's written, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, the way you behave, come before the Torah. Come before the Torah. Very difficult. Very difficult. I'm telling you, it's so difficult. It's all day long. All day long. You know? All day long. And I tell all my students, I'm begging the Creator not to do mistake in that area, and I do. You come to a synagogue sometimes to pray, you take a chair of somebody that you didn't know was sitting there. The guy sitting behind you getting angry, or he took a seat. It was no siddur, it was no book. Now you're sitting there, and you've been judged. And according to the Zohar, according to the book of the Zohar, it's written, in front of a blind, you should not put an obstacle. The Zohar translates this verse in a different way. The Zohar said, the blind man, okay, the blind man is basically, he think now that you don't like him. So it's on you, the sin is on you because you didn't look around to make sure everything is okay. So next time when you're sitting in somebody's seat or you don't know you're sitting in somebody's seat, ask around, is this belong to someone? Am I able to sit there? And they say, no, no, no problem, you can sit here. And then when people come in, you look at their eyes, make an eye connection. Use your masach all the time. Masach is a work that works all day long. Because the blessing of the Creator keep coming. It keep coming. When you reflect back, then it's revealed all the blessing of the Creator from the beginning. So all the money, all the relationship, all the goodness that you ever want to have, it's already here. But if you're not reflecting it back, then unfortunately, it's staying only in potential. So tell us, Rav Ashlag, the light that coming from the Creator, going through the circular vessel to the line It's only going through the circular vessel, but it don't appear because there is no masach in the circular vessel to make it manifest. The only masach exists where? In the linear. That's why it's appeared there. וטעם הדבר מפני שבאור הקו הוא קודם לאור השגולים. שהרי העיגולים מקבלים אורתיים רק באור הקו. כן, אור הקו חשוב בהרבה מאור העיגולים, כן, אינו מתערב עם אור העיגולים כנל, ואור הקו נקרא אור הרוח, ואור העיגולים נקרא אור הנפש. So, because, and this is a very difficult one to understand, we call the light that go through the linear אור הרוח, the light of the רוח, because we know there is five levels to the soul, נפש, רוח, נשמה, חיה, עין יחידה, אוקיי? נרן חי, it's called, you don't have to remember it right now, but נפש is the lowest, that's when you are young, you know, a person been born, he is between נפש בהמית, like animal, kingdom, soul, to a נפש of a human. It's a very low level. When a person get to age 12, 13, then start to get the רוח, for that reason we celebrate bar mitzvah, celebrate all of it. Some opinions say, he doesn't get the ruach until 19. So that's why it's called teenager. Okay? And that's why in age 19, most of the disease of the ruach, most of the ruach also mean chole ruach, meaning somebody who has a mental disease. In Hebrew, it's called chole ruach, disease of the spirit. It's very interesting. And the age that people usually get sick mentally is at age 19, between 19 to 21. Because that's when the ruach sit. That's when the soul starts to sit inside the body. So, tell us the Rav Ashlag that the light now that coming is going in a certain process that even the igulim, even the linear is lower than the circular, but because the linear now become important after the Tzimtzum, we call the linear the Ruach, which is one level up, and the igulim the Nefesh. I'm going to stop here for a few minutes to see faces while I'm putting my glasses on, see expressions, see faces. So first, welcome. I don't believe I know you. And I'm sorry for, it's a deep subject, so we did a lot till now. It's 49, but I welcome you to watch it on my site and see it. But if there is any question, please, that would be a great time to ask. No, it's never the truth. It's never your fault, but it is your responsibility. There's a big difference here. Yeah, we're not blaming ourselves and we're not blaming others. Right. We got to get out of the victim mentality.
Right.
Always there. Yeah, that's why we say El Rachum V'Chanun. You know, when you study the Creator, you understand the define of the Creator. The Creator is all about mercy. Okay? So it's almost like a father that waiting behind the screen and waiting for the kids to figure out how to get there. But the father gives some hint. He draws some candy. He says, hey, I'm here. But you have to make the effort to get there. We need to understand the Creator from that point. Because a lot of time, I find people from becoming dry with the spiritual growth. And they become like looking at the Creator, look at God, look at the Divine, more like a punisher, which is asur, which is totally forbidden to think like this. The Creator put now soulmate, solution, money, health even health, all there. Now I need to create a curtain to be able to reveal the best potential. Now I don't know what my best potential. I don't know what it is. You know, for some people, it's time for them, let's say, to go, to die, God forbid. You know, it's a minute after they die, they realize how big was that gift. But who is the one who feel the pain? The one who stay here. Not the one who dies. Everybody understanding what I'm saying? So the one who stay here actually go there. So the one who stay here, now it's complicated. They have to do the masach. They have to do the curtain. They have to do that ability. It's called, you know, in the language of religiosity, it's called more mitzvot lo ta'aseh. Why do we have two type of mitzvot? We have the thing what you shouldn't be doing and the thing what you should be doing. And people very excited about the mitzvot of aseh. It's exciting to do the aseh, to do the go do something. But lo ta'aseh is not exciting. Because what do you get in lo ta'aseh? You actually, by not doing, you're revealing the light. But you actually don't do anything. You actually don't do what you wanted to do. And through that, you actually get light. But what actually, from somebody watching you from the side, what actually happened? Nothing. Nothing actually happened. It's crazy. Nothing happens. A thief. There is a thief who stopped stealing. What happened to the thief who stole stealing? By him, stop stealing today is actually revealing more light than somebody who go ahead and do something which is right. It's a tremendous, tremendous. I don't know if I answered your question, but if I didn't, I'm sorry.
We have a question from online.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You said that in the spiritual world, there's no motion or space.
So no what?
Motion or space.
Yeah, it's true.
So if I tear down a house and build a new one, is the old one still there?
Well, technically, yes. But because we live in Olam HaSiyah, thank you for the question first. Because we live in Olam HaSiyah, we live in the world of Asiyah, the world of action. We know that there is five dimensions. Okay, there's the world of action, there's the world of formation, there's the world of creation, the world of emanation. So, because we live in the world of action, technically from Atzilut, from the world of emanation, the house is there. But you're not going to be able to connect to it because we have body consciousness and we have soul. The body itself, well, what is the body? It's the body. It's momentarily. Cannot relate to something which is not physical. For that reason, the Pasuk say, Im Hashem lo yivne bayit, shava malav. You know, if God is not building the temple, there is no point to build the temple. When King Solomon built the temple, he knew that that temple will not last. Only the third temple will last. Why? Because Im Hashem lo yivne bayit, if the creator will not create that house, doesn't matter how many worker will go ahead and put it together. So technically, the house is there. Physically, the house is not there. So we have to be in both places. I know it's difficult. Both places. And both places in the same time. You know, if you remember in the Torah, when it says that the Kohen is destroying any house that has leprosy. So is the leprosy still there? No, it's gone. But the Kohen, what it say? Vera'a Kohen. First, the Kohen has to see. By him seeing it, he's removing the disease from the physical universe and the spirit universe. Why there is leprosy in the house? Because it's coming from Lashon Hara. Coming from Tzara'at. Tzara'at Abayit is called. Motzi Shemra. Somebody who speaks bad in their house. You know, I always tell people, if you must speak Lashon Hara, do it outside. You have to speak Lashon Hara. Yeah, I can't help it. Can't. Out. Because at least you are making the issue, but you don't leave it on the wall. Please now stay healthy. You have to speak, you know. And unfortunately, we got wedding, bar mitzvah. What are you going to do? Sitting there, just speak how nice. The flower was too cheap. The shoes of the kalad. You know, she got it from my grandmother, stuff like that. That's Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is when you say the truth and it's negative. Lie is otza'at diba. It's two different averot, two different things. Otza'at diba is when you tell the truth. It's not as bad. When you tell a lie, it's not as bad as when you tell the truth, which is negative truth. It's shocking, right? You would think a lie is worse. No. But lie has no chayut. A lie doesn't have roots in the divine. But the truth has a roots, and you connect yourself to the first creature who spoke Lashon Hara, which is the snake. Any more question? I can continue, but I know that I lost a few soldiers on the field there. So if you have question, Igulim, circle, Tzimtzum, for the new people especially, that's your chance. But make sure that it's clear also for the people at home. I didn't say that the purpose of everybody to be rich. I gave different example. Depends if it's addictive. Addictive, because there is addiction and there is a desire. So hopefully your desire is related to what God want to give you. Hopefully. But the idea is that the masach, what is the masach? Why is the masach so important? Your ability to say no to it can check if it's real. If you cannot say no to something, it's definitely an addiction. If you want something that bad and you cannot say no to it, there is a problem there, right there. Why you cannot say no to it? If there is no ability to push it back, maybe it's not belong to you. But if you're able to push it back, then let God deliver it to your house or Amazon or UPS or whatever it is. Once you hear the knock of the door and say, God is delivering you a package, it's because he did the masach. So what I'm trying to say is, is your ability to say no to what you want, create the real thing that you need.
So how would that work with your soulmate?
Soulmate, the same thing. Soulmate, you're going on a date. You're going on a date, and there is, I can't lose this guy. Can't lose him. It's mine. Take a break. Something is wrong. It's too much. It's something is controlling you. It's not you. Something is controlling you. Something is forcing you to go after what you want. If I'm not able to say no to it, I'm nervous. One of the Kabbalists one time was served on Shabbat chamin. Chulent, like the beans with the beans. The stew. It's not Persian, it's not Choresh. I know you're eating Choresh all the time. So it's the big thing with, you know. So he was about to eat, and he said, it smells so good. I have so much desire. And he started putting a lot in his bowl. And then he stopped. And everybody's looking, so why he stopped? They go, Rabbi, is everything okay? Say, I never in my life, never in my life had such a desire to eat. Say, I'm 65 years old. I don't know what's going on. So you want something else? You okay? Say, no, I'm not going to eat it right now. I want you to check out what's going on with that food. And they check. And they found out there is a kashrut issue with that food. So he was so nervous that he was not able to do a masach. He was not able to do a curtain over something regular like that. And that's a very good indication for you to know if you're in the right direction. If you cannot say no to something, there's an issue. Why you cannot say? You are a human being. You have bchira chofshit. You have the ability. And the moment you push it back, and it's come back to you, there is a tefillah that the chatan does before he gets married. Not everybody is doing it. So the chatan, actually before he gets married, it's a tough prayer. That's why most chatanim, they took it off. They don't, not a lot of people do it. The chatan, before he gets married, he said to the creator, divine, God, Shamayim, you know, if this is my bad zug, make it work. But if it's not my bad zug, please make something that it will not work. Can you imagine to say it before the wedding, such a prayer? It's not normal. You're crazy to say it. But you want to get to a place that you will be fulfilled for whatever the divine, the creator want to give you. You know, it's amazing. And I told Debbie today, I say, nobody's going to come today. Everybody's in vacation. You know, everybody's vacation. I said, who's going to come? And then Michelle back came early. Says, okay, today we're going to have two people lecture. And then new people came. So I don't know how things work. I'm not familiar with that. Once those holidays will be over and we have everybody's back from vacation, it's different. But now, you know, you have to build the masachim. And masach, there you go, I don't know what's going on. Expect two people today. See, David? Unbelievable. So it's a very important to understand that. And once we understand it, it's a game changer, you know, for everything that we do. Yes. There is a question on that, like why do we need to study it? So it's actually for every time that you get something genius in the Torah, you have to remember that it's not yours. It was something that you already studied. So it's good for the ego to remember that. Anyway, I just want to read the Ari, and then we're going to close it because I don't want to push it you too much. V'ine kol olam ve'olam yesh bo b'yut sfirot pratiyot. Every world and world has 10 sfirot pratiyot. V'kol sfira ve'sfira pratit she'bekol olam ve'olam kalul b'yut sfirot pirte pratiyot. Every sfira has 10 sfirot. So in Keter, you have Keter of Keter, Chokmah of Keter, Bina of Keter, until Malachut of Keter. So it's an endless amount of Sefirot, there is 10 dimensions, from Keter till Malachut, right? Keter, Chokmah, Bina, right? Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Od, Yesod, Malachut. Those are the name of the Sefirot. And within one of, which each one of them has 10 of their own. And it's subdivision of the Sefirot, never end. Kalul biyut Sefirot, Pirte, Pratiyot, Vekulam, Kegladeh, Ptzalim, Ze toch ze. And they all look like onion layers, one inside another. Almost those Russian, what do you call it? The wood things. Yeah, dolls, it's called Russian dolls. That you open and there is more and more. The same thing. So within the system, there is more and more and more and more and more. Al derech tmunat ha-galgalim, Kanizkar besfere tochnim. It's almost like wheels that moving one another. So next time we're going to go and study more the whole concept of how the light turned into vessel, because in the beginning it was only light. So how something become vessel. It's called it'abut. It'abut comes from the word ave. Ave means thickness. So something is basically start with nothingness and end up with something. I wonder why they asked me about the house. Are they worried that they destroy a house? No. So nothing ever is disappear, but it is whatever it is. It is whatever it is. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming. I didn't expect anybody to come today. I was doing it for the people at home with pajama. But you came, you make me happy. It's really touched my heart that you actually came.